Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord be with you. We welcome you into God's house today on this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. One announcement to make, maybe two. The first is there's a funeral service today for Mr. Richard Preuss, and so please keep the family of Mr. Preuss in your prayers. The funeral is at 2:00. Also, we are in the second of a two-part sermon series focused on our life together here at St. Paul Lutheran. Our first hymn is one of my favorites, Holy, Holy, Holy. Please rise. Our liturgy today is on page 167. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The one who endures to the end will be saved. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
By your bountiful goodness, release us from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our weakness we have brought upon ourselves, that we may stand firm until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, one God, now and forever. Our first reading is in Malachi chapter 4. This is also our sermon text today. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you, Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to heaven. Our second reading is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We enjoy special music now by our senior choir.
Oh,
Thank you. That was terrific. Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 21. Then Jesus spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God, our Father, and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is in Malachi chapter 4. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing on its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. This is God's word. We've been having a little bit of audio trouble. If you're in the back and if you can hear me okay, would you raise your hand? All right. If you can't hear me, well, how would you know to raise your hand, I guess? Thank you. 2 weeks ago, at the end of my first sermon here, I invited you to think about what it would look and sound like if here at St. Paul Lutheran we became famous for confessing our sins to God and to one another. And the beautiful thing about confessing our sins is that it gives God's grace a chance to sweep over and be in charge of our life together. Last week, in the closing paragraph of our sermon, we learned that when the grace of God is sweeping over us and in charge, well, then we see ourselves as part of a rescue team, which is going out all week long looking for people who need help, looking for folks who need a word of encouragement in the name of Jesus. Today, we continue a series of sermons on our life together, and we learn from the prophet Malachi that in the end times, the people of God will be focused and unafraid. Focused and unafraid. Can you say that with me? Focused and unafraid. First of all, we focus on what it means to live through the end times unafraid. And secondly, we'll think about what it means to be focused on the mission of the church, which is quite simply to make disciples of all nations. One of my memories growing up on a farm in southeastern North Dakota is that my father had a strict no animals in the house rule. No animals in the house rule, with one exception. While on the one hand, dogs and cats were absolutely not allowed in the house, no matter how my sisters pleaded with him, no animals, with one exception, and that one creature that was permitted and even carried into the house by my father would be the occasional white-faced Hereford calf who had been born in a spring blizzard. I can still see my father bringing in a little calf, wet and practically freezing to death, setting it near the kitchen heat register and seeing to it that it survived. My other memory of those calves is that they would survive and they would go into the barn until the weather cleared up, and when the time was right, we would let those calves out of the barn where they would go kicking and jumping and leaping for joy into the spring sunshine. This is the picture Malachi offers us today in the very last chapter of the Old Testament, a picture of Christians traveling together into the very troublesome end times, absolutely unafraid. Even more than that, with a joy that is as contagious as a group of white-faced Hereford calves jumping for joy, springtime is here. Truth number one about the end times is that God's people will be like calves leaping for joy in the springtime. The last chapter of the Old Testament talks about Judgment Day. Judgment Day will be a day of wild extremes. Unbelievers will be like chaff which is swept away into the fires of eternity. Believers will be like the grain harvested into the bins. Those not repenting of their sins will be like dry trees and branches burning out of control. But those repenting will see what they have been looking for. They will see what they've been looking for. The Son of Righteousness will rise on the horizon, and there will be healing in its wings. Those who have been living in darkness have been seeing a great light. And in that day, the great light will be peeping above the horizon and leaping into the sky with all its splendor. In the end times, Christians will be living as people who understand what it means to be set free. Like white-faced Herefords kicking and frolicking in spring sunshine, God's people know that their sins have been forgiven. They know that their names have been written in the book of life. They know that they have a mansion on reserve in heaven, and they are glad about it. They are as glad as they can be in believing what they believe. On the last day, saints will be streaming into their final pasture. The good shepherd has kept his promises, no surprise there. And into eternity, they will be lying down in green pastures, and they will be led by the still waters. Dear friends in Christ, today, I invite you one more time to bring all of your anxieties, to bring all of your fears, to bring all of your frustrations to the communion rail. And know that Jesus Christ is here today to hold you close. The sins of your past have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Your future is secure in the arms of your Savior. No matter how deep are your regrets, the love of your God is deeper. No matter how wide is your guilt, the forgiveness of sins is wider. No matter how long are your and my bad habits, the grace of your God is longer. Like calves released from their stalls who go out frolicking on a spring morning, so are the Lord's mercies new towards you. Every time the sun comes up in the east, with no exceptions, as often as you cry out for mercy, mercy is yours. Fear gives way to courage in our life together. Confusion gives way to clarity. Sadness gives way to a joy only God can provide. Malachi closes out the Old Testament with these words about the end times. Last words of the Old Testament. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Truth number two today about the end times is that Christian parents and congregations will be putting first things first. That'll be a mark of the New Testament church, Christian parents and congregations putting first things first, namely Christian education. Not only is the Spirit of God teaching us this morning to be unafraid and to be joyful, he is inviting us to be focused. Through Malachi, the Spirit of God would remind us today what a treasure we have in the written and spoken Word of God. The law of Moses here refers to more than the do's and the don'ts of the Ten Commandments. It refers to both the law and the gospel. It refers to the complete revelation of God to his people. It is the word of God which is able to make us wise unto salvation and to train us for holy living. It is the word of God, you know this well, it is the word of God which gives us a blueprint for being saved by the grace of our God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is the Word of God which, in the language of our epistle lesson for today, teaches us not to become weary in doing good works, not to become weary in doing good works, but to keep on putting one foot in front of the other with eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. In the words of Jesus recorded in Luke 21, Staying focused means staying awake spiritually, so that our hearts do not get weighed down with drunkenness and worldly concerns. Dear friends, this morning I invite you to bring all of your distractions to the communion rail, to the foot of the cross, and to see Jesus clearly. See Jesus putting first things first. By that I mean to say Jesus setting his face towards Jerusalem, refusing to be distracted until his Father saw to it that all of his wrath, all of his righteous anger, all of the sins of the world and all the generations have been placed on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Our punishment poured out on him. I invite you to see Jesus this morning, suffering all that we needed him to suffer. See him dying the death we needed him to die. See all of your sins and all of mine washed away. See all of your guilt and mine gone. Sent into the depths of the sea. See one more time this morning in Christ, the one thing needful. The one thing needful is that the hearts of the parents and the grandparents here today would be turned again and again to their children and to their grandchildren. Understand the responsibility of each generation to pass along the baton of the Christian faith to the next generation. Ask yourselves as a congregation and as individuals, are we putting first things first and second things second in this place? In these days, the kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city, full of folks leaving church today with a peace that goes beyond their circumstances. They leave church today unafraid of what the future might bring. And even more than that, they leave with a gladness that is hard to explain. They leave with a joy that is downright contagious. Their hearts turn again and again to the next generation. They wonder together what they can do to make their church like a city of lights set on a hill, attractive to other people. They go looking this week for dark corners in their neighborhoods where they might let their light shine, where they might let their gospel light shine so brightly that others would see their good works and give glory to their God. By the grace of God and moved by the Holy Spirit, these people go out from this place unafraid and focused. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Holy God, mighty Lord, hear your people as they pray and grant to them all things needful and beneficial according to your gracious promise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Praise to you, O Lord, for you have done marvelous things and you have laid bare your arm to save your people. Deliver your church from all her enemies and from those who battle against your word. Lord, in your mercy, glory to you, O Lord, for you have remembered your steadfast love to your people and redeemed them through the blood of your only Son. Strengthen your people in their baptismal identity as your children and in their vocation of worship. Witness love and mercy, Lord, in your mercy. Holy are you, O Lord Almighty. You judge the world with righteousness and your people with equity. Bless us with good and faithful leaders and government to serve your purposes, to defend your people, to punish the evildoers and encourage virtue. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, you have given us rich and abundant promises and promised to be with us in all adversity and need. Be with those who cry to you in any need of body, mind, or soul, and grant them grace sufficient for all their needs. Today we pray for those with health concerns, including Bob, Timothy, Joanne, Nancy. We pray that you heal them according to your will and help them always to know how much you love them and are with them, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the family of Richard Preuss as they grieve his passing. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would surround them with loved ones and with your word, which will help them to lift their eyes and to look forward to the resurrection of his body and life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for good reports for many of our members, for good health, particularly for Jerry Schrader. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in treatment, including Eva and Harold and Marcia and Brian, that you would hold them close and give them a spirit of endurance, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all the servicemen and women, all who are serving in the military, that you would hold them close and that they might serve with integrity in a way that gives glory to you. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for missionaries everywhere, especially two of them which are supported by this congregation, Reverend Edward Nauman and Reverend Dr. Stephen Oliver. Help them to be safe and to be faithful in their tasks. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray today. Amen. At this time, we receive the offering. You may be seated. We continue into the service of the sacrament on page 177. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.